two doctors in Israel have contracted the Omicron variant of COVID-19. Both had been vaccinated and boosted, according to the Sheba Medical Center. Omicron is a variant with upwards of 50 mutations, and it has put countries around the world on alert in the week since it was first detected. It's been found on five continents and poses a very high risk, according to the World Health Organization.
And yet a lot is still not known, including whether it makes people sicker, whether it will respond to the current vaccines, and how widespread it really is. Let's bring in Dr. Ashish Jha, Dean of the Brown University School of Public Health. Dr. Jha, welcome.
Thank you for having me back.
Glad to have you. And I want to start with some basic questions, since Omicron has still only been with us for about a week that we know of. I mean, how concerned should people be? We haven't seen it in the U.S. yet, we should note, and yet epidemiologists are pretty sure it is already here.
Yeah. So, you know, about every month, 6 weeks, we hear about a new variant, and most of them I think we can rightly dismiss as not being particularly significant. This one is different. This one is different. It is concerning to me. It's concerning, obviously, to lots of other people. And there are really two reasons. One is the speed with which it has taken off in South Africa and in other countries. And then all those mutations. Now, number of mutations isn't necessarily that important, but where the mutations are, particularly on the spike protein, the what's called the RBD, the receptor binding domain, that's the place our vaccines target. And so it really is concerning to us also about, you know, how well our vaccines are going to hold up against this variant.
I see. There's really so many different things to look at. I think maybe two that are really top of mind probably for a lot of folks is, one, is it more transmissible than the Delta variant that we're very much still dealing with? And then second, will it cause more severe illness? What do we know about those two things?
Yep. Those are two of the really key questions. So let's dispense with one very quickly, where we have no data at all on that severity of illness. Is this going to cause the same level of severity illness? Will it be milder disease, more severe disease? We have no idea at this point. We've heard anecdotes of a few people saying that the few people who they knew had mild disease, it would be lovely if that turned out to be the case more broadly. We just don't know, and it'll take us a little while to sort that out. On the issue of transmissibility, the reason that I think it got everybody concerned initially was we saw the speed with which became dominant in one of the regions of South Africa in a place where Delta was already there, and that looked like it was outcompeting Delta. Delta is a very, very contagious variant. And so something that's even more contagious than Delta, I have to say, I think most of us weren't expecting. Now, just one place for it to take off, that doesn't necessarily mean it's more contagious. There are other explanations. Again, there's going to be more work on this. We're going to know more in the next week or two. But that is something that I think a lot of us are concerned about.
Doctor, I want to go back to those mutations. We know that a virus will frequently evolve if it's given the chance to replicate. But this variant, as we've described, has got nearly 50 of these mutations on the spike protein. Do you have any theories as to why it got this way, or why it looks this way and appears to be more complicated?
Yeah, so it's always difficult to sort of figure out exactly what were the selective pressures, the kind of evolutionary pressures that created this. The best theory right now is that you had somebody who is immunocompromised, who essentially became chronically ill with this virus, and then the virus mutated within that one person, really generating all of these mutations. You know, when you look at things like the Alpha variant that initially came out of the UK last fall, it was a similar thing. It was somebody who was immunocompromised, got infected, had a long bout, and within that person, the virus had multiple mutations. That's what we think happened here. We don't know for sure. It's always hard to tell exactly why a virus generates the mutations that it does. But clearly, if it generates those mutations and survives and replicates, that means it must have some sort of fitness advantage. It must give the virus an advantage that the previous one didn't have.
And regardless of why, we still need to look for it and find it now. So that means sequencing, which is looking at the actual virus after people test positive to figure out which variant is in fact making them sick and whether it's the Delta or the Omicron. Early in the pandemic, the U.S. had been criticized for not doing enough sequencing. What do the numbers look like now? Have we gotten any better at that? And how important will sequencing be in slowing down Omicron if we need to?
Yeah, so sequencing is enormously important, and we've gotten much, much better. I'd say if we were here a year ago, I would tell you that we were woefully far behind. We have a lot of capability, but we just weren't putting in the resources and energy to do this. The idea, as you said, is when you have a positive test, you want to take a sample of those and send them off to be sequenced to figure out exactly what variant it is. And there's a lot of discussion about what proportion do we need to be sequencing. A year ago, we were probably sequencing 1 in 1,000 samples, way too little. Now we're at about 2 to 3%. Doesn't sound like a lot, but actually generates a lot of sequences. And that's probably enough that we're going to be able to find Omicron pretty quickly. So we've gotten much, much better. Could we do a little more? Maybe. The UK does more like 5%, and they're really thought of as the gold standard. But I don't think sequencing is going to be our limitation the way it was maybe six or certainly a year ago.
And Dr. Jha, I mean, I think that sort of the next step question that a lot of folks are wondering about, too, is vaccines. What I already have in my arm, is that going to protect me? And I think that's something that the Moderna CEO, Stéphane Bancel, told the Financial Times has really caught a lot of people's attention. Moderna, of course, is one of the vaccine makers. And he says, quote, there is no world, I think, where the effectiveness is the same we had with the Delta variant. I think it's going to be a material drop. Now, I realize there's more data to collect, but that's quite a statement from a person who's pretty plugged in. So what is that likelihood? Moderna is saying it could produce a new vaccine if it needed to within 2 or 3 months. But then there's the question of whether that new vaccine would also sort of provide reverse protection against the original or the Delta. What do we know about vaccines?
Yeah, there's a lot. This is obviously quickly moving. So let me tell you how I think about it right now. We don't know how much of a hit the vaccines are going to take in terms of effectiveness. I agree with the Moderna CEO that it will take a hit. The question is how much and for whom. My best estimate and the way I think about this is that if you're fully vaccinated and boosted, you're probably going to do okay. It will probably still give you a very high degree of protection and almost surely a very high degree of protection against severe illness. So maybe we'll see more breakthroughs, but we will not see a lot of people getting severely ill because a boosted person has a broad range of antibodies and has a lot of other parts of the immune system that has gotten trained against this virus. So that's one of the reasons why it's absolutely essential that anybody who's 5 to 6 months out from their second shot, absolutely, any adult, go get a booster. If you're not fully boosted, if you're not boosted, if you're just fully vaccinated and you're 6 months out, you already are seeing a hit on vaccine effectiveness against Delta, there probably will be a very large drop-off against Omicron. Now, do I know that for sure? I don't. But that's what many of us are expecting. And one of the absolutely essential reasons why we need to go and get boosters right now is that.
Let me just jump in right there. Yeah, and please. I want you to make your last point, but this is really interesting to me because I just got my booster, my third shot, over the weekend as all of this news was unfolding. And I was thinking to myself, wait a minute, do I need to get this shot right now or should I wait a little bit to figure out if there's going to be some new formula? Like, will this booster be irrelevant? It sounds like you're saying very clearly, go get the booster.
Yes. No, it's exactly right. Exactly right. People should go get the booster because the booster will give you protection for a significant period of time. We don't know how long. And if Omicron really is more contagious, and let's say it does become dominant in the U.S., there is no question in my mind right now that a booster is much more protective than just being, let's say, fully vaccinated but not being boosted. On the question of whether you're going to need an Omicron-specific vaccine, we really don't know. Both Moderna and Pfizer, and J&J, by the way, are starting to work on those formulations, and they should. We don't have to wait for all the data to come in. We want to get going. I don't know if we'll need it, though, and we'll find out as the next few weeks come in. And if there is a need for one, yes, it'll take 3 months to produce it, but then we'll have to get it out to people. It may be a little while, and you want to be protected between now and then. And so there's no question in my mind that, I got boosted about 3-4 weeks ago. If I hadn't, I would be getting a booster today.
I see. So your advice is go get your booster. But in the moment we have left, what else should people do in practical terms? I mean, the president is saying be cautious, but don't panic. So concretely, does that mean don't travel, wear masks indoors? What do you recommend?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, you should be doing what you were doing a week ago when we had this other very contagious variant, Delta, which is I have plans for the holidays. I think it's fine to keep them. I think people should know that there is a chance. Look, if this turns out to be on the kind of worst end of our expectations, then you may need to make changes. But I suspect that with the standard stuff that we know about this variant, and again, I always remind people this is not a magical virus. It's the same virus, which still spreads the same ways. If people are careful, if people mask indoors, if people use testing when they don't feel well, if they're fully, you know, boosted, I think most of life can continue. And then we just have to see what the new data tells us. And if we need to adjust, we'll adjust.
Here's hoping. That's Dr. Ashish Jha, Dean of the Brown University School of Public Health. Dr. Jha, thanks as always, and stay healthy.
Hey, thank you so much.